Andy. You probably know or have noticed that the speaker looks a little different. I've already heard that. Brenda told me I shrunk about a foot, changed my hair color, and grew a beard. So I've already heard about looking different this morning. But anyway, it's good to see everybody out this morning. I told the first crowd, you know, it was really an encouragement to be at the 9:30 service as well, just because I got to see some people that I haven't seen in quite a while. So it's good to see everybody here too. This morning, I'm just going to take a few minutes to talk about a topic that I think is really relevant to our lives today, and that we see all the time, and that's the topic of gossip. And to get us kind of thinking along those lines, I'd like to refer to an episode of Andy Griffith that I'd say most of you have seen at some point and even remember, and that's the episode about the traveling shoe salesman. Now, if you've not seen that one, I'll give you a quick rundown of it. So it starts with Andy teasing Aunt Bee and her friends about being a big bunch of gossiping women after he hears them cutting someone up real good in the drugstore. And Aunt Bee tries to explain that men are just as bad for gossiping as women, but of course, you know Andy Taylor, he just keeps giving her a hard time. Well, as the episode goes on, it just so happens that a traveling shoe salesman comes to town, and Aunt Bee decides to have a little fun showing Andy that men can spread rumors too. And she starts by giving Andy just the tiniest little rumor about the shoe salesman, you know, maybe hinting that there's a little more than meets the eye with him. And by the end of the episode, Andy's taken that rumor and convinced himself and the whole town of Mayberry that the shoe salesman is actually a man in disguise who's taking auditions for a live talent show. And it's really funny to watch when the rumors start and they start spreading quickly, just how out of nowhere the salesman gets this huge line of people coming to his hotel room. And he thinks that they're all just wanting to sing and play for him while they look at shoes. And, you know, that's always been an episode that I've been able to laugh about, because it shows in such a hilarious and maybe not so exaggerated way the truth about gossip. You know, gossip is a very powerful thing, and it can affect anybody, whether you're the average John or Jane Doe, as we might say, or a traveling shoe salesman. And sometimes, like in the case of that episode of Andy Griffith, we get to see the funny side of gossip. You know, I've been in several situations that I can think of where there's just a simple miscommunication, or maybe somebody sticks their nose in some unneeded business over a small issue and then spreads their misguided knowledge, but everything ends with a laugh. We need to realize, though, that in a lot of other situations, gossip can really be serious and harmful. And I know that there are times certain information just doesn't need to be spread. And in a world with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and network news, that seems to be a fact that our modern world has a hard time understanding. And I know it might sound kind of silly to do an entire sermon on gossip, but I really do believe it's worth our time. You know, I think, and I've been guilty of this, it's easy oftentimes to underestimate the power of gossip, because it is just so prevalent in the world around us. And then to be even more straightforward about it, it's easy to even participate in it ourselves, and I've done that. So I'm speaking just as much to myself with this lesson. You know, as Christians, we have to remember that we can pack quite a load of harm onto people's lives if we choose to participate in spreading their private information or even spreading lies about them. So with that in mind, I'd just like to discuss a few of the big overall dangers of gossip, and then a few ways that we as Christians can avoid being caught up in it. As far as dangers go, first and foremost, gossip is a danger to our own salvation. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, and by the way, I put all the verses on the screen for convenience. It says, "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to Him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil," and here's the two that I want to hone in on, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. You know, I think it's safe to say that those last two things, breathing out lies and discord among brethren, I believe we can find those in gossip. It certainly never results in anything good. And most importantly, again, though, gossip is a danger to our own individual soul. In Psalm chapter 101, verse 5, the writer quotes God as saying, "Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure." And then over to quote Jesus himself in Matthew 12, verse 36, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. And I don't think you can make those verses much clearer. God hates the spread of gossip and lies. End of story. And as Jesus pointed out in the book of Matthew, God will judge us by what we say in this life, whether that's good or bad. So we need to watch what we're talking about when it comes to our neighbor so that we don't end up losing our own salvation while we're condemning them. And I know you're going to look at me and say, duh, but another danger is that gossip results in false information. Oh, really, right? You know, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have ever played the telephone game or seen a group of people play the telephone game? I know teachers often use it as a little teaching tool at school. If you don't know what it is, the game involves a group of people getting into a circle, and one person starts the game with a secret message. That person will then whisper the message to the person next to them, who will whisper it to the next person, and so on until the message makes it around the entire circle. Now, the goal is to have the same message at the end of the game as you had when you started it, but I bet you can guess how often that happens. I had on my notes very rarely, but in my experience, it's never happened. And usually, I'll give you an example. The message will start with something simple like, say, Jacob went to Buffalo Wild Wings and watched the basketball game. But it tends to end the circle with something like, Jacob is with a bunch of buffalo eating wings and playing basketball. And while the second might be more likely, what you get at the end is usually at best a very warped version of what you were given. And also, it's important to note that the message tends to get more distorted as the circle of people grows, as you add more players. You know, while games like that are fun and they can make us laugh, they make me laugh, they really illustrate some good points. When you start to gossip around others, especially in bigger groups, the truth will almost always get misconstrued and bent at some point. And it only gets worse the farther the rumor spreads and the more people it makes it to. And before you know it, you've got false statements that aren't even related to the one you started a rumor with. And, you know, that's another big point of danger in and of itself when it comes to gossip, is you get outright ridiculous lies. That's kind of what the Pinocchio man is representing. And we can learn from all the way back in the Old Testament how God feels about lies. You know, the obvious example that comes to my mind is Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, commandment number 9, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Basically, you shall not lie about your neighbor. And then over in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy 2, verses 16 and 17, Paul says, "Avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene." Now, I'm sure we have some people with medical knowledge, but I think we all know that gangrene's not a good thing. So that makes the point pretty clear. And also, I'd like us to consider the word irreverent there in verse 16. And no, I'm not going to make you picture gangrene. According to Merriam-Webster, irreverent is defined as lacking proper respect or seriousness. Or as Paul might put it in his letter to Timothy, irreverent babble. So, do you think that gossip might be able to fall under the category of lacking proper respect or seriousness? I think that's exactly where it falls. You know, spreading mistruths or even private information for our own enjoyment is simply not respectful to anybody. It's not respectful to ourselves as Christians or to the victim. And this leads me to my last big point of danger, which is that gossip hurts its victims. You know, maybe that's what we need to think of the most when we're faced with the issue of gossip and we're tempted to participate in it. And again, I won't ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you have ever had a rumor spread about you, regardless of whether it was a truth or a lie? You know, it's not fun to figure out that other people have something to hold against you or to make fun of you with. When someone runs their mouth to other people and they spread a lie, or even a truth that you would rather just keep private, you start to lose trust in that person very quickly. And worse than that, and I know you've seen this as much as I have, you start to lose trust for people in general. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28 says, "A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends." You know, that's a pretty sad verse, and we've all seen it happen. Gossip hurts people, and it can very quickly, within seconds, destroy a good, wholesome friendship that took years to build. Now, before I go any further, I just want to establish that I don't think anybody here is a chronic gossiper. And, you know, I feel like everybody knows the dangers I just pointed out. They were fairly obvious. But sometimes I think it's good to look closer and review topics we think of as being basic or straightforward, because I've found that a lot of times those are the issues that give us the most trouble in daily life. It's not the big sins, as we might call them, you know, murder, stealing. It's usually these more subtle things. And gossip is probably one of the best examples of that. You know, as I mentioned before, and anybody who knows anything about modern society or turns on their TV would say the same, that gossip is a very prevalent issue in our modern society and in our nation as a whole. And it comes in many forms. You know, if you don't see somebody ratting somebody else out on the news, it'll be on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and vice versa. And anymore, you know, it seems like you can't say much of anything on social media, even if it's in a respectful way, without somebody taking it the wrong way and bad-mouthing you to their friends, or so-called friends. And I'm afraid that there's just a lot of people who crave drama, and they're making the perfect breeding ground for gossip. And as Christians, you know, it's important to realize that those issues are present, and know that Satan is behind it all. And to take that a step further, we need to prepare ourselves for when Satan comes knocking at our door to follow the crowd and the drama. Because as we've already discussed and pointed out, gossip is a very dangerous tool of the devil. So with that in mind, I'm just going to leave us with a few ways that maybe we can avoid getting caught up in gossip. And here's a biggie. We got to get to know the people around us. You know, as a human race, we're very heavily influenced by those that we come into contact with. And at times, that's an awesome thing. You know, I see that positive effect in the people of this congregation. As far as negative influences go, I wouldn't fear that in any way here. But out in the world, that can be a different ballgame. You know, most of us come into contact with quite a few people on a daily basis. So I'm going to make you think now. If you were to filter through in your mind all the people that you talk to or are acquainted with, say on a weekly basis, and narrow that list down to see who your friends are, who would be left? And more importantly, how are those remaining people affecting you and your behaviors? Because we all know that our friends will hold a greater influence than an average acquaintance. And I ask that to give us something to think about as we bring up gossip. You know, gossip is a very attractive, but it's a very subtle sin. So if we have friends that participate in it, people who are close to us, people that hold a heavy influence on us, there's a good chance that we'll get caught up in it ourselves. And the scariest part about it is that we probably won't realize we're doing it. And that tends to be the case that I've caught myself in throughout life. So I know it's real. Gossip is hard to catch. And the point I'm trying to make is that we really have to be careful of who we spend the most of our time with. And we often hear 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 quoted, "Do not be deceived, bad company ruins good morals." And a lot of translations say, bad company corrupts good morals. And that, unfortunately, can be very true when it comes to who we hang out with. So I ask that maybe we all just be a little more careful and watch out for gossipers, especially in the people that we spend the most time with, because those people's behaviors are not things that God would want us to be a part of. You know, another way we might be able to kind of steer away from gossip is putting ourselves in other shoes. I think some of the most effective tools that we have as humans in general, not just Christians, are sympathy and empathy. You know, when someone's having a bad day and somebody else comes along and tries to share that hardship with them, what happens? You know, it usually gives that person, it may not solve the problem, but it usually gives that person a small glimmer of light for their day. But gossip has the exact opposite effect. It tears people down. And I asked you to consider this a few minutes ago, but I'll ask again. Think of a time that somebody spread a rumor, true or false, about you, and you didn't know about it until it seemed that everybody else around you did. Not only does that make you feel hurt and betrayed, but isn't it humiliating? You know, I would imagine that everybody has felt that at some point. So knowing what it feels like to be a victim of gossip, and knowing firsthand the damage it does to a person through your own experience, do we ever still gossip about others? And I'll tell you, if you don't, the world needs more of you, and honestly, I need more of you. But what if you do? What if you participate in talking about someone behind their back, knowing full well what it would do to them if they figured out? You know, if we ever find ourselves in that situation, I think we need to remind ourselves that we're not the only one gossip hurts. And again, I wrote this lesson just as much for me as anybody, so don't feel like I'm preaching at you or anyone else. And what I'm trying to get at is this. If we know from experience the pain that comes from being part of a rumor, and we most likely all do, we have the ability to sympathize with people undergoing that same pain. Now, if we actually do that, when we're tempted to, as Andy Taylor would say, cut someone up real good, then we'll have no desire for gossip. By putting ourselves in someone else's shoes and realizing that they deal with problems the same way we do, we're no different, we'll have no desire to risk hurting them. Instead of making things worse for that person and letting everybody else around us know about their personal issues, we'll want to be a source of encouragement. And by doing that, we will become more Christ-like. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." And then over in Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13, Paul says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive." You know, gossip in a lot of ways is one of the most unforgiving sins. It creates a lot of grudges, and it just highlights the bad in people. If we want to avoid gossip, I think one of the simplest things we can do is try to put ourselves in other shoes and just try to understand things from their point of view. And then I'll make one final point, and that's that Jesus died for everyone. You know, we often quote this verse, but Galatians 3, verse 28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." I think this might be the most important part of the entire lesson. You know, whenever gossip occurs, there has to be this implied inequality between one person and another. You know, if we gossip, we're essentially placing somebody else in a lower position. And then, even if we don't realize it, we're raising ourselves up on a pedestal by acting like we have everything figured out and that we're flawless. And that's not in any way appealing to God. It's arrogant. You know, when Jesus lived as a man on this earth, He showed us to do the opposite. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8 says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Jesus never exalted Himself above anyone or lowered anybody while He was on earth. If anything, He made Himself lower than others. You know, it says Jesus became a servant Himself. As Christians, we have to follow that same example if we expect to get anywhere. But not only did Jesus show us to treat each other equally and act with humility, He actually made us all equal Himself by covering all of our sins on the cross. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, "He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And then I couldn't make this point without highlighting John 3:16. "God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." You know, that verse didn't say, "God so loved the Jews, or the highly intelligent, or the rich, or the poor, or the black, or the white." You can keep adding more in. God loved the world. Jesus died for the world. You know, when we choose to spread rumors about somebody, we're acting like we're better than them. We're acting like we're the world. And that's a direct violation of our equality in Christ. I guess you could say it's a direct violation of John 3:16. So let's always remember that whenever we're tempted to gossip about somebody, and at some point we all are, myself included, or sin in any way that undermines that person's worth, doesn't just have to be gossip, let's remember that he or she is no lesser than us in Jesus' eyes. Well, I hope that lesson was beneficial in some way to everybody. You know, gossip's a pretty big issue. And even though it is common, it happens every day, it's sometimes hard to detect. And I think the more that we know about it, the more we're educated on it, the better we can do at avoiding it and standing up against it. So as we transition toward an invitation thought, I want us all to think about that last point, the equality that Christ gave us. Jesus gave all of us an opportunity to be saved and spend eternity with Him in heaven. His sacrifice holds the same power for you that it does for me and anyone else. So, with that in mind, if you haven't chosen to obey Christ, I'll ask that you consider that this morning. And the plan of salvation is simple. We've all heard it. God's already done His part. So we are to hear the gospel, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Believe in its truth, John 8, 24. Repent and turn away from our sins, Acts 2, verse 38. Confess that we believe Jesus is the Son of God and that He has the power for our salvation, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And be baptized into Christ, washing away our sins, Mark 16, verse 16. Now, if you have been saved and at one time were added to God's kingdom, but you've drifted off, which happens to all of us, you also have an opportunity to make things right, whether you need to do that publicly or privately, and we'll leave that up to you. So as we think about that, let's all consider where we are with Christ and make the necessary changes to get closer to Him while we stand and sing the song of invitation.